take your Bibles tonight, Daniel chapter 6. We're going to start in verse 16 tonight. A couple weeks ago, we started the chapter, and you remember the Babylonian Empire had been overthrown by the Medes and the Persians. The Persian king Darius was the king. He had split it up among the had set the different people over the kingdom, and then had appointed three presidents to oversee the governors that he had set up, and had appointed Daniel of the first president, and his desire to make him the ruler underneath him over all the kingdom. Now you remember the last part of Daniel's life in the nation of Babylon, he was sort of in retirement. He was about 80 years old at this time. He was called out of retirement, and if you remember in Daniel chapter 5, to read the handwriting on the wall and to prophesy that the nation of Babylon was going to be overthrown. The head of gold was going to be overthrown by the two silver arms. You go back to Nebuchadnezzar's dream about the statue that told about the world kingdoms. And so the Medes and the Persians had taken over. Darius was the king. He recognized Daniel's talent. He also recognized Daniel's relationship to his God and put him in a place of leadership in his kingdom. Of course, the other people that he had set up were jealous of Daniel, and so they devised a plot to get him. And they looked for things in his life that they could accuse him about, but found nothing. And they basically said, we're not going to find anything wrong with Daniel or anything that we can accuse him to the king of, except when it comes to his God. And so they devised a plot and said, and went to the king. They went to Darius and said, hey, we think that you should pass a law that anybody that prays and asks any other God for anything the next 30 days, except you, that they be thrown, that they be killed. They be thrown into the den of lions. And of course, Darius was a little bit like Nebuchadnezzar. He had a little bit of pride, and so when they came to him and said, this is what we think you should do, and we've all agreed. Now, Daniel didn't agree. He wasn't in on it. But all your rulers have agreed this is what should be done, and so he agreed with them, passed the law. When Daniel heard about it, he didn't change his habit. His habit was three times a day he would go into his room, his window was open toward Jerusalem, and he prayed to God. Again, that's what God told his people to do when they built the temple, that if they were ever away from Jerusalem, that they were to pray toward the temple. And even though this law was passed, Daniel did not change his daily routine. Of course, the men were there looking for that. They knew what he did. They knew his life. And I believe it was when he was saying his morning prayers. I don't believe they waited till afternoon. I don't believe they waited to evening. They used the first opportunity to catch him. They went to the king. The king and accused him before the king. Said, don't you remember we passed this law? I remember. You remember that anybody breaks the law will be thrown into the den of lions? I remember. Then you got to throw Daniel in the den of lions. And the Bible says that he spent the day trying to look for a loophole, trying to get Daniel out of being thrown into the lion's den, but couldn't. The Persian law was, it applied to everybody, king and everybody. So the king couldn't change it. So that's where we start tonight in verse 16. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. So again, this was a heathen king. I don't know how long Daniel had served him. I don't know if it was a matter of weeks, a matter of months, or maybe a few years. Don't know how long it was. But however long it was, Darius, the king, saw two things. First of all, he saw the faithfulness of Daniel. He says, this God that you serve continually. I'm sure Darius, and he probably forgot it when he passed the law, I'm sure Darius was aware of Daniel's habits of going and praying to his God three times a day. I'm sure Darius was aware, and maybe he'd heard the stories from Babylon, how Daniel didn't eat the king's meat or drink the king's wine, how he stood for his God and the teachings of his God. And he saw Daniel's faithfulness. You know, sometimes the best testimony that we can be to other people is not what we say, but it's what we do. And it's our faithfulness. Our faithfulness. You are a blessing to me with your faithfulness. We have God's given us a group of people here that just come every time the doors open. And I know we have more on Sunday morning than we do on Sunday night, and we have more on Sunday night than we have on Wednesday night. But the folks that come Wednesday night, Sunday night, and even those that come faithfully on Sunday morning are a blessing to me because of their faithfulness to their God. And again, sometimes that's the best testimony that we can be to other people as they watch us and say, they are faithful. I mean, they do what they say they're going to do. When Sunday comes, they're at church. Now, the other thing that Darius realized about Daniel's God was that he was sovereign and that he had power. And again, I don't know how much exposure that he'd had to Daniel at this point, but he said to Daniel, as he threw him in the lion's den, he said there, thy God, he'll deliver thee. Now again, we're going to read a verse in just a minute when he comes back the next morning. And with a lamentable voice, the Bible says, Daniel, was your God able to do it? I don't know how much faith he had when he told Daniel, your God's going to be able to deliver you. Maybe it was only this much. Maybe it was just a little bit. But God said, that's all it takes. Just a little bit of faith. A little bit of faith and a great big God. That's all we need. And so Darius had a little bit of faith because he said, Daniel, this God that you serve, you faithfully serve, he will deliver you. Verse 17, and a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. So they rolled a stone over the mouth of the cave or whatever it was that they kept the lions in. And the king sealed it with his ring, okay? They sealed it with some kind of wax, and then he put the impression of his ring in that wax. And the lords, his governors and the people that were underneath him, sealed it with their ring. They wanted to seal it with their ring because they didn't want the king changing his mind. It says there in that last part of the verse that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. They wanted the king to remain true to the law. The law was that he could not even change it. Daniel broke the law that was passed. He had to pay the price. And so they sealed the stone that was put over the mouth of the den of the lion so that the king couldn't move it. Verse 18, then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. So he went back home. Now, you know, a king would eat. A king would have musicians come in and entertain him. And for the most part, a king would sleep. I mean, he was in charge. He was ruler. Again, at this point, he still ruled the world. The Babylonian Empire ruled the world. And when the Medes and the Persians took over, they ruled the world. And so here was a king that went home and didn't eat anything. Here was a king that went home and didn't have the musicians come in and entertain him for the night. And here was a king that didn't sleep at all that night. I think he was a little guilty. I think he was blaming himself for not realizing the plot that was devised against Daniel to get him thrown in the lion's den. I think he would have kept him out of the lion's den if there was any way possible that he could break the law that he had passed, but there wasn't. And so I think he was feeling guilty, and I think he was worried about Daniel. I don't know that we can say that he, like Nebuchadnezzar, was saved, to put it in our terminology, trusted God. I think we're going to see in a minute that maybe he did after he sees that Daniel is saved. But he spent the night with no peace. Okay? He spent the night upset about the fact that he had to throw this good man into this den of lions. Okay? Verse 19. Then the king arose very early in the morning. Now, he didn't sleep, so he didn't arise from sleep. He just got up and got dressed and went in haste into the den of lions. So he hurried back to where they had put Daniel. He didn't waste any time. I think when it said he got up early in the morning, he got up early in the morning. I think the Bible means exactly what it says, all the time, but in this verse, I think he got up early in the morning. And he went in a hurry to the den of lions. Verse 20, and when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. Again, a voice that was filled with sorrow, a voice that was filled with worry, a voice that was filled with just a little bit of faith, because, and the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God. Notice, servant of the living God. Here was a wicked king that worshiped idols, that worshiped nature, that worshiped all sorts of different things that were not a living God. And he says to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Was he able to do it? Now, I don't think they had a window. I don't think he could look through the window. I don't think they had a hole in the den that the king could look in. He had to call out to Daniel. He said, Daniel, was your God, your living God, the one that you are faithful to, was he able to do it? Was he able to deliver you? Verse 21. And you know, I wish I could have been there. I wish I could have been standing beside King Darius when that voice came out of the den and said, then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. Now again, Daniel, you know, he was the first president. He was being very respectful to this king. O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lion's mouth. An angel of God. I think it was the same angel that was in the fiery furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I think it was the Lord Jesus Christ that was there in the den with Daniel. And he's come and give all these lions lockjaw. They could not open their mouths. I heard a preacher one time saying, well, the lions didn't bite Daniel, but they licked him. I said, no, they didn't. He shut their mouths. Their tongue's in their mouth. They can't get their tongues out when their mouth's shut. So there was no licking going on that night in the lion's den. He has shut the lion's mouths, and they have not hurt me, for as much as before him, before his God, innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. What he was telling the king, I am innocent before God, and I am innocent before you, because nothing that I did brought you any hurt. Then, and again, I wish I could have been standing before the king when Daniel said that. I wish I could have just seen his reaction when he heard that voice from that den. We read about it in verse 23. Then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So they rolled the stone back and got him out. So Daniel was taken out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him. Now listen, that when the Bible says that, that's exactly what it means. He was not scratched being thrown into the den. He didn't break a fingernail being thrown into the den. He didn't have an ache or a pain being thrown into the den. He went into that den and came out of it the same way that he went in. There was no manner of hurt, not a big one or a little one or any kind of hurt. In fact, the safest place that night in that kingdom was in the den with Daniel, because that's where God was. So no manner of hurt, because he believed in his God. Daniel believed in his God. Daniel knew that he was innocent. Daniel knew that he wasn't going to punish him. And so I think, you know, we said the king didn't have any peace and the king didn't get any sleep. I think Daniel got a good night's sleep. I think he probably used some of those big cats for his pillow, maybe even for his mattress. But there was no manner of hurt found upon him. Verse 24, this is how I like to see a story come out. When I read a story, or go to a movie, and I don't do that very often, I love to see the bad guys get it in the end. Here's what happens. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions had the mastery of them and break all their bones in pieces wherever they came at the bottom of the den. See, these lions, I mean, they were kept hungry. I mean, they were kept hungry for the very reason that they were used as punishment to people that broke the law and were thrown into their den. And so it says there in verse 24, they got all the guys and their families that accused Daniel, that made the king pass this law that he didn't want to pass, and devised this wicked plot against Daniel. And again, I don't know how many of them there were. I think the two other presidents were there. I think there were 120, if I remember the number right. 120 princes. How many of them were thrown in? I mean, 10, 20, 100? I don't know. However many there were, the lions had feast that day before their bodies hit the floor. And I know this is, I don't mean to be inappropriate, but before their bodies hit the floor, their bones were broken and they were eaten up. All of them. Then King Darius, verse 25, wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwelt in all the earth. So again, he was the world ruler at this point, just like Nebuchadnezzar had been in Babylon. He still ruled the world. And so he wrote to his kingdom, all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. Now again, this was a king that last night didn't have any peace. And now he's writing to the world, to his subjects, and say, hey, I wish you peace. I have peace. I want you to have peace. He says, I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, again, he was the world ruler, so when he says every dominion of his kingdom, he was talking about the whole world, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. That men respect and hold in awe the God of Daniel. For he is the living God. Nobody else could say that about their gods. Everybody else worshiped things that weren't alive. They worship gods that, like the Bible in the book of Psalms, they have eyes but they can't see. They have ears, but they can't hear. They have feet, but they can't go nowhere. They have hands, but they can't do anything. That's the kind of gods that the heathen worshipped. But he said, I want everybody in my kingdom to fear and tremble, hold in awe the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever. I mean, this wicked king knew a lot about God. Our God doesn't change. He is a steadfast, faithful God that never changes. He is steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even until the end. Again, here was a wicked king talking about what we learned from the book of Revelation. And some of us probably don't understand it as much as he did. Hey, his kingdom is never going to be destroyed, and it is going to last for all eternity. It's going to last forever and ever and ever. Verse 27, he delivereth and rescueth. He cares for his people. He knows what his people are going through, and he's there with them, and he cares for them, and he rescues them. And he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth. Not just in the heavens, but he works among his people. And he does miraculous things in the midst of his people. And he mentions one who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. Now, I don't know about you, but this is a pretty good testimony for this wicked king. I sort of think he had a relationship with God. After he saw, again, the faithfulness of Daniel and saw how God delivered him out of the den of lions. I think it was You know, when Nebuchadnezzar saw the three Hebrew boys, I think he was close to God. God had to deal with him in a different way, take his mind away from him, and let him go out and live with the animals for a while. But here's Darius. I think when he saw what God did on behalf of Daniel, he said, hey, your God is God. He's the living God. His kingdom is going to last forever. He works among his people. He delivers and rescues them. What a testimony. Then verse 28. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Now, Cyrus was the one that took over after Darius died. He was the Persian king that took over after Darius was gone. Cyrus was the one that told the Jews, hey, you can go back to Jerusalem. You can go back and rebuild the temple. You can go back and rebuild the city. He's the one that took all the dishes that Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple when he destroyed it, that the Jews used to worship their gods. He said, here, take all this back. And he said, anybody that wants to go back can go back. Anybody that wants to go home, go home. And you just wonder. I wonder if Cyrus might have been a little boy when Daniel was thrown into the den. He was probably, you know, I don't know if he was related to Darius or not. Maybe he was a cousin or something like that. But maybe he was a little boy. Maybe he heard how God worked in the life of Daniel. And when he came into power, he says, hey, I'm going to let God's people go. If they want to go home, let them go home. And he did. He did. So again, sometimes the best testimony that we can have is to just be faithful in doing what we're supposed to do as a child of God, as a Christian. Thank you for being here tonight. Men will be praying. Brother Ferris told me he moved a little heater into the library because the guys got cold. Now, I don't know if there's going to be any ladies praying, but if there is, they'll be meeting over here. So if you'd like to join them, you can do that. But let's stand together and we'll have a word of prayer. Be dismissed.